So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the Ferrari strategy of F1 podcasts.
I'm just not sure why I'm wearing an anorak.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast. It's had a second sensor fitted to our recorder's battery, but that's nothing to do with our recent drop in quality.
I thought they had a second sensor removed from the battery.
No, they had one. They had one put on to make sure that they weren't cheating, but they definitely weren't cheating.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that is and always will be stupid.
I'm all right with that.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the only F1 podcast that is a figure of eight.
Yep, we go over each other. Wait, that sounds weird.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that will be phoning it in for the rest of the season.
Oh, well, that starts now.
I'm Chica Rez, and today, from producer Matt's house, we're going to talk about the Japanese Grand Prix. So it was a must-win race for Sebastian Vettel and Ferrari, but once again, they threw it away with some terrible strategy errors. Is this last week's script or a glitch in the Matrix? We'll discuss how Scuderia messed up yet again the surely inevitable fifth Hamilton title, and there'll probably be some swearing along the way. That's what comes. Joining me is a man who hasn't bought a house. It's Phil Tromans.
Hello, everyone. Sorry. Yeah, I've been trying to buy a house. It's really difficult because other people want to buy houses as well. And you think you found a house and you put in an offer for the house. And the estate agent faddles around and then comes back to you and said, oh, somebody else has offered less money. And I'm like, well, why is that bad? But apparently they were ready to go because we've got a chain because we need to sell our house and somebody else needs to. It's all very complicated and middle class. It's very annoying. We found a really nice house and we were going to buy it and now we can't buy it because some other fucker has bought it.
Very much like in Sainsbury's just now. I got a sausage roll and Phil was like, have you taken the last sausage roll? And it was like, well, I hadn't, but you know, for a second.
But if you had.
You thought I'd gazumped you.
But you don't have a chain, so.
I had some crisps and a double decker.
And alongside him is a man who spent 2 hours in an Uber on Saturday night. It is Terry Saunders.
House party in an Uber, anyone? So I went to see the Chemical Brothers on Saturday
night. I've heard
night
of them. Hot new band.
At Alexandra Palais.
Good.
Hot new venue.
It was great. And then went out into Hackney, went to a club. You know, I'm like a youngster. Yeah. And then
the clubs.
You know, about depressingly early, about half one, so I might go home. And
depressingly early, that's way later than I stay out.
Okay, Chica, how late do you stay out? Where do you go out?
I don't go to bed.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Cool. Well, nor do I, it turns out, because I got an Uber and drove down and I did a thing that's quite rude, I think, and I don't normally do, but I basically fell asleep in the Uber. I put headphones in and I was just like, I am going to sleep. Wake me up when I'm home. And I live in South London, when you've got to go through the Blackwall Tunnel in a cab at night. And unbeknownst to me, the tunnel shut on a Saturday night because I don't normally go out that late. It shuts at 1 o'clock. Oh, and so I kind of half wake up and we're kind of near the tunnel. And I'm like, okay, I'm nearly home. Be home in about 20 minutes. That's fine. Go to sleep again. Wake up again about maybe half an hour later. I'm like, oh, we're near the tunnel. Then I kind of load my app, like my map and stuff in the back and go, this is weird. What's going on? And it's like, oh, it's going to take us to the other tunnel. That's fine. It's about a half hour journey, but that's fine. Fall asleep again. Wake up again later on and we're still by the tunnel. And I go, excuse me, where are we? And he went, oh, there's a slight problem. I can't get into the tunnel. And I was like, well, yeah, it's probably shut. Why don't you go to the other tunnel? He said, oh, no, it's saying there's a diversion. And what he'd been doing for an hour is kind of driving out and then following the signs back to the tunnel. And I was like, and so then I had to kind of say, can you go to, oh, the other thing was, because I was having a night out, I wore contact lenses, which I rarely do. But when I was in the cab, they were a bit itchy. So ooh. I pulled them out in the cab, but didn't have my glasses with me.
Oh, no.
So he was, I was there going, are there not any signs of the Rotherhithe Tunnel? And he went, I can't see any signs, can you? I was like, no, I'm blind. So then I ended up having to direct him via my phone because his sat nav was shit over Tower Bridge. So that's just like another fucking 40-minute journey. So from Hackney to my place in like Blackheath, Greenwich was 2 hours. Get home, get into bed, and then I get a little text going, "Your Uber journey just cost you £100." And so then I can probably complain about it. I gave him a bad rating, which means I think he's been shot, and I got a lot of money back.
Okay, well, that's something.
How much did you get back?
£77 back.
Not
oh,
bad.
That's quite good. Yeah. But then I said, shit, you weren't going, what? So I'm still paying £20 for a 2 hour journey, you fuckers. And they went, we can't give you any more money back. And I did this whole thing of like, well, I'm not going to use Uber anymore. Obviously, I am. There's nothing else.
Do they have, it's only Uber here, isn't it? They don't have Lyft here.
And a black cab.
Oh, no, you don't want to use those.
Which would be about £100.
Yeah, exactly. So, £100 just to get you down Regent Street.
Oh, what an overprivileged set of fucking stories. That. Oh, I can't buy a house. Oh, my Uber was delayed. Yeah. Oh, God, life is
Chica,
so
did you
hard.
Have any disasters at Waitrose? Or?
I went to see Adam Kay, who wrote This Is Going to Hurt.
Don't know who that is or what that is.
It's the book about doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yes, no, I do. I saw him on, was he on a panel show or something?
He's well, anyway, funny. I saw him talking about how the perfect CV for a doctor is not through having social skills or caring for people. It's stuff like being great at sport, playing loads of instruments. And he read out this amazing CV of like team captain of this and all of this. And he was like, that was Harold Shipman's CV, admittedly.
I've got Harold Shipman's story. I was sorting through some books last week and in an old book, this flyer fell out from my first Edinburgh show in 2003, in which, for reasons that I can't remember, I used a picture of Harold Shipman as
just
the
when
flyer.
You were a shock jock kind of guy.
Yeah, it was a kind of, it was a sketch show. It was terrible. But the one that fell out of the flyer, the one I kept, because it was signed by Paul Daniels. Because Paul Daniels was walking down the street because he was in Edinburgh that year. So we got him to sign it. Unbeknownst to him, he was signing Harold Shipman's face.
Wow.
To which I then got a story in the Metro about Paul Daniels signed Harold Shipman's face controversy, publicising my show. And we got like 3 people that night, Kate.
Wow. For Edinburgh, from what I understand, that's good.
It was amazing, yeah.
And so we break too late and make an ill-judged attempt to get back on track at Listener's Corner. Naturally, the goings-on in Japan occupy most of your comments. So let's start with Ryan Simpson, who says, Hamilton is in a different league at the moment. He's a machine. Serious questions have to be asked if Vettel, after another unforced error, he's not driving like a 4-time world champion. And I'm not convinced he's the right man for the job of chasing down Mercedes. Paul Hinton says, Ferrari's biggest mistake is letting the wrong driver go. If the team next year was the experienced and reliable Kimi mentoring young Charlie, that would be a great setup. Vettel has proved time and time again that he can't take any pressure unless he is the dominant car, like the Red Bull. Is it too late to send Seb back to Sauber instead?
See, when I read that he said they've let the wrong driver go, I thought they were talking about Alonso. Because really, they should still have Alonso in the car and everything will be fine. He'd be doing all right. But yeah, Sebastian's just been rubbish.
He's just mistake after mistake at the moment. He really is cracking under the pressure. Like, way more than I thought he would. Because he's clearly a decent driver. But it's that last little bit when he's up against it and he's got to fire him. I mean, how many mistakes has Hamilton made this year?
The cornrows.
fashion mistakes. Fashion mistakes. I mean, he's basically turned that into a career himself with Tommy Hilfiger. But driving mistakes, he's really not put a foot wrong outside of little minor things here and there. Whereas Vettel's made quite a few massive clangers this year.
But I would have
thought the pressure would be worse at the beginning of the season, though, when they're close.
I mean, whereas now, maybe, but they you can always think, oh, I've got ages to sort it out if anything.
But then
happens.
They were close up until like three or four races ago. It was still nip and tuck. And in fact, Vettel was in the lead.
Yeah,
up
we
until,
thought well,
like,
for
Italy or something. And then suddenly he's gone wrong at every race and Hamilton's gone right.
And so Ferrari.
Craig Howard is puzzled. He said, I'm puzzled. Why have Ferrari gone slower after the last two races? They were not cheating. So why would adding an extra sensor to check affect their speed?
What is this sensor thing? I've totally missed this.
So Ferrari, if you remember a few races ago, suddenly they were much quicker than Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
By the by, the FIA put in an extra sensor in their battery unit just to see what was going on, just to check everything was fine.
Just in Ferrari's unit?
Just in Ferrari's.
Oh.
And
can they do
by
that?
Complete, yeah, they can do whatever they like there, the okay. FIA.
You've got to have a dildo in your front nose. That's the thing that the FIA can say.
And by utter coincidence, as soon as that second sensor went in and Aruva Benny confirmed that, yes, it's now we've got a second sensor, completely by coincidence, that was almost exactly the time when the Ferrari seemed to lose performance again. So I don't think we can read anything into that.
Do you think what was actually happening was before they put the sensor in, they had a hamster in a wheel that was giving extra power?
They might have done it. Or some extra batteries, like a big pack of like AAA batteries that yeah.
There's
snuck
nothing.
In there.
There's nothing against hamsters in the rules.
And Mission Win.
Oh, yeah, Win-wo. Yeah. They got they had the dramatic new livery we hinted at last episode.
Which was two words that looked like they were a mirror image of each other, but one you can't actually read and yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, yeah. I didn't see that.
Mission
well,
Win-wo.
You missed nothing. Because you know we were saying, oh, yeah, Ferrari, yeah. New livery. Yeah. We were thinking, wow, it's going to be beige
oh,
or
knew
something.
It wasn't gonna be
and no, it was one sticker on the back that had some Philip Morris thing. It's Mission Win-wo is some Philip Morris thing that isn't cigarettes, but it's cigarettes.
Vaping?
It's something to do with technology, but really it's cigarettes.
It's all cigarettes.
It's basically saying smoke.
One man who made no friends at Ferrari this weekend was Max Verstappen. So the young Dutchman was given a 5-second penalty for smacking into Kimi Raikkonen at the final chicane and was also involved in a tussle with Vettel that left the German spooning it into the runoff area. Tristan Clayton said, Max clearly celebrated his 21st with some extra strong mind-altering substances. If he thinks any time a driver makes a mistake, everyone behind should slow down and allow him to recover. Colin Wilkes said, the crashing is back at it again. I really think he hates the colour red. How many times now has he crashed into Ferrari this year? Wes Paul Stops said, Max outbraked himself and cut the chicane, gained an advantage by not losing a place, and then rather than safely coming back into the left side of the track, he pushes Kimi off the track. Then the clash with Vettel looked to me like Max squeezing Vettel. I know he's popular among people who wear wooden shoes, but can we please stop behaving like he can do no wrong?
Firstly, Tristan is totally right, because that comment he made where he's like, well, Kimi should have just slowed down a bit for me. Like a motor race is going, oh, after you, sir. Oh, sorry to hold you up. Oh, yeah.
So for anyone that didn't see it, this was quite early on in the race. Raikkonen was chasing down Verstappen. Verstappen outbraked himself, coming into the chicane before the turn onto the final corner. And then instead of sort of going onto the runoff area and feeding back on the track, he tried to get back on track almost immediately and did. And basically forced Raikkonen off. And he got a 5-second penalty for
it. So you're saying Raikkonen was doing absolutely nothing wrong at all?
I don't think you can really blame Raikkonen there. If you see somebody in front of you make a mistake and go off, Raikkonen was trying to take exactly the normal racing line. And
I mean, it's true that Raikkonen could have slowed down.
Yeah, but why?
But
why
that
would he?
Does seem to be a slightly bizarre.
Yeah. What with him being, you know, a racing driver,
that would be a very odd stewarding decision to be like, actually, you should have just slowed down a bit, mate. You could have avoided an accident. In fact, if you all went a bit slower, you'd be much less likely to crash.
Yeah, I don't think he was deliberately trying to push Raikkonen off, because when he got on, he had full lock on his steering to try and turn him, but because
and
of
a
the
green
angle,
tire
and a.
The tyre went totally green from like the AstroTurf.
Did it?
Stuff.
I didn't see that.
That was
maybe
great.
They'd sprayed the grass to make it
yeah,
green.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think 5-second penalty is fine. I don't think he can be too upset about that. But Wes, Paul Stops, says he reckons Max is to blame for the crash with Vettel. Now that I don't agree with at all. That was Vettel completely cocking it up.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. You know, I hate Max Verstappen, but yeah, that was Vettel.
Did you hate him particularly in this race? Where did you stand on Verstappen? Another podium for him. He's banging in the results.
The thing is,
he's a little frisky, but didn't do anything massively outrageous.
There's a big problem right now, because actually we're talking about Vettel and Verstappen. The thing is, if Vettel could be pushed back down to what, he was like 17th or 18th after the crashing with Verstappen, and then he can just quite effortlessly come back to being, where does he finish, like 5th or sort of 6th?
5th or 6th, yeah.
And the difference with the top three teams is so vast that they're going to always be in the top six without even trying. You know, as proved, he can start quite low down, get to the front, crash to be back at the back again, and still get back to near the front. So kind of, you know, Kimi's a bit rubbish. Ricciardo's on the back foot. Verstappen's third place was the default.
Ouch. Well, speaking of ill-judged overtakes, Kevin Magnussen provided entertainment once again, swinging over very late to block a move by Charles Leclerc that results in Charlie smacking into the back of him and puncturing the Dane's rear tyre. Nicole Dykeman asks, is there a single driver that Magnussen hasn't pissed off? I think the stewards have made a right call that it was a racing incident this time because the move was just before the breaking point. But I feel like Kevin No Friends might cause a serious crash with the Cowboy defending sooner than later. However, Scott Crawford said, K-Mag is my favourite driver. We're all just living in a K-Mag world. Actual genuine personality as opposed to carefully managed Mr. Bland out front.
You know that we are living in a K-Mag world, and I am a K-Mag girl. I thought you were going to join in.
I'm just going to let you go. There's going to be people cribbing this out and putting it up as an MP3 on LimeWire.
So are you saying you're a fan? Is that your way through song?
Suck my balls. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's an erratic driver because he's really good sometimes. And then other times, he's really not very good. And when he's not very good, he tends to have his elbows out and crash into people.
When he's good, he's very, very good. But when he's bad, he's a bit of a dick. For example, it was pretty touch and go with this Leclerc thing. And you could conceivably say it was just unfortunate coincidence that Leclerc tried to go one way at the same time as he moved over, as Nicole was saying. But on the other hand, he did almost exactly the same thing in a previous race. And
yeah, if someone like Hamilton got did form, that, you'd be like, okay, that's a bad coincidence because Hamilton doesn't make moves like that. But when he's like, oh God, I just accidentally crashed my car into your front garden again.
For about the fourth time this year, that's something like that's happened.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, yeah, as you say, when he's good, he's really good. Did you see previously, he overtook Leclerc on the outside of 130R at 200 miles an hour. And it was a glorious move. He's very good, but every now and again he just drives like a bit of a bellend. And I quite like him out of the car as well, because as I said before, I don't think he gives a shit about
it.
You
anything. Like tattoos though, don't you?
I do like tattoos, yeah.
Harry James Barton says, Bottas is now dead behind the eyes. His mission is only to protect Lewis. He is the Valterminator.
I mean, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
I like that name.
Well, that name's if, good, if only for the name. Interviews. There was just nothing there.
He's accepted his place now, hasn't he? I think he said it. I haven't read the interview, but I saw the headline that he's like, yeah, okay, I'll be number two driver for now.
He always knew he was going to be number two driver.
No, but he didn't. Remember, even at the start of the race last week, when he was there going, of course I can win. No one's going to tell me to stop winning. This is Mercedes. I don't give team orders. Oh, by the way, Valtteri, can you not win? It's like, I just didn't realise.
Well, I think I saw somebody asked Toto Wolff before the race. Is like, is everything clear with the drivers now? And he went, yeah, it's very clear. So now he knows exactly where he stands.
I noticed on a similar but unrelated note, Toto Wolff wearing glasses this weekend.
What did you think?
Does he normally wear glasses? No. I don't think he does.
I really like them. How do you feel?
I think there needs to be slightly thicker rims.
Interesting. How do you feel?
I have no strong opinions on the subject one way or the other.
It's because you don't wear glasses.
I do wear glasses.
Yeah, but not
very often.
Not in public.
I do wear lenses most of the time.
Yeah, but that's not glasses.
Well, I have glasses. I just don't wear them that often because I prefer lenses.
So in other news, the FIA race director Charlie Whiting has been on his travels and he's reported back from a trip to the Zandvoort circuit in the Netherlands. The circuit hosted the Dutch Grand Prix back in the day and the talk is they want to do it again. It might happen because Charlie said it would only need minimal changes to be able to host a modern F1 race.
They've got to put in all the clog parking, you know, basically orange bits to pen in the Verstappen fans.
Yeah, the sex museum. And a giant spliff.
But the sex museum is just Max Verstappen's sexual history. It's a very, very small museum.
So Charlie also went
to... The gift shop is just like one of those postcards that when you move it, it's just him wanking. When you get one of those pens.
It's, it's just him with him wearing his race suit. He's turned the pen upside down and his race suit comes off.
And a bookmark.
Right. Charlie also went to Hanoi to investigate the possibility of a Vietnamese Grand Prix at a track that hasn't been built yet. We presume he said that they'd need to build a track first.
But there's talk today that they're confirming there's a Vietnamese Grand Prix next year.
They're going to have to go bloody quickly to build the track. I mean, I suppose they've got a year.
Maybe it's off-piste.
That'd be good.
On snow. Just powdery snow. That'd be amazing.
In Vietnam. They'd have to ship it in.
Wow. I mean, that's an F1 thing to do, but... Dutch Grand Prix, do you remember Zandvoort? It's a little bit before my time. I've seen a few clips of racing from there, and apparently
I don't really remember the Japanese Grand Prix, if I'm honest.
Tell us how wrong you are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake, or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake, or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Time for the teams. We'll start with Mercedes. So, things are going well. Are you ready? Sixth win of 7th races, 4th win in a row, 9th win of the season, 71st in his career, 5th win in Japan, 50th win in the Mercedes, 67 points clear and 8 points away from 5th world title.
Very good.
Except 6 wins in 7 races, you have to do asterisks. One of them was given to him as a present by his best friend.
Hey, it all counts.
That wouldn't have worked.
History doesn't remember who was second.
Nico something?
Did Hamilton say something about his engine at the end?
Yeah, he was worried that it was just having little palpitations.
He said the last race, though.
I think he said it this race as well.
I think he says it to fuck with Vettel. I think he just kind of goes, oh, where's Vettel? Oh, he's losing. Oh, make out that I'm not doing very well. And if he was right behind me, he'd win. That would really piss him off. And you could tell that Vettel's in the car going, oh, my God. Oh, shit. Because, like, on Saturday night, after I went home, me and my friend went home, other friends went on to another club somewhere and had a great time, and I spent the whole next day going, should have stayed out. And that's what Vettel's like, I think. He's there going, oh, if I only wasn't crashing into people, I'd have won the championship by now.
Maybe this stems from a few races back where Vettel, do you remember Vettel's engineer misheard Hamilton saying that everything was great, and he reported to Vettel that Hamilton was having problems
and said everything was gravy. I don't understand the vernacular. I think gravy means bad. Oh, it's very confusing. Blazing Squad.
What?
Was it Romeo from Blazing Squad?
I do not know what you're talking about.
Is gravy.
Ferrari. So I get the impression that Ferrari have given up on the championship, which may come as a shock to you. Instead, they have focused their efforts on recruiting Giuseppe, a strapping Italian in his mid-20s with glowing skin from his Mediterranean diet, that is a professional ruthless killer to deal with Verstappen.
What?
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
I made that up. They haven't actually hired someone.
Or have they?
Well, what I loved about Ferrari this week was the tyre blunder and qualifying, where it wasn't really raining and they went out on intermediate tyres.
But why? Why did they do that?
Because they're fucking idiots.
Because they're badly organised and not paying attention.
Maurizio Arrivabene then goes, do you know what? The people on the pit wall at Ferrari are fucking idiots. And it's like, Maurizio, where do you sit? I'm on the pit wall. Are you in charge of the whole team? Yes. Are you an idiot? No. I didn't say that. I said that people on the pit wall... Oh, God, it's me, isn't it? Oh, no, I've done it again.
It was sort of like when everyone goes to a party and like one person has been told as a prank that it's fancy dress.
Aww.
And he turns up and he's like, oh, for fuck's sake, everyone else is just in normal clothes.
Come as an intermediate.
They're sitting there in their intermediate tyres and everyone else is in slicks. And they go out and they do their quick time and Ferrari like, oh, shit, get in, put the normal tyres on. So Ferrari go in, put on the slicks, come out, by which time it started raining and the slicks don't work and they can't set a time. It's just bloody a comedy of errors.
So I've got a question. At the end, why didn't they swap Raikkonen with Vettel?
Because they've given up.
Do you think that's what
it is? Also, Raikkonen was like 30 seconds ahead of Vettel. He would have literally just had to sort of crawl along at 30 miles an hour.
But they could have just sent him into the pits or something. They could have done it, and they arguably should have done it, because if something terrible happens to Hamilton and he can't drive the next three races, and then Vettel loses by 2 points.
Ferrari, what? I mean, what? They're just continually titsing it up. It's like every decision they make is the wrong one.
Do you remember who the last world champion for Ferrari is?
Raikkonen?
I know. That's 11 years ago.
11?
And even that, he spawned. He was lucky to win that
championship.
Bollocks
it up. And apart from that, then obviously Schumacher. And then before that, we're looking at like...
Alonso nearly won one.
But Vettel nearly won one this year and last year.
Well, not that nearly. 67 points off at the moment, yeah, I think it whatever. Is. No, calamitous.
So Red Bull, I don't think Ricciardo got enough attention because he went from 15th and he ended in 4th, which is really impressive, despite the fact I know what you said earlier about the top teams. But people just didn't seem to take that much notice of it.
It's because we were all busy watching Ferrari.
Ricciardo's become really invisible this year. It's strange. He won a few races at the start of the year and he's had a lot of really bad luck. It's not his fault that he's not
Hartley levels of luck.
Yeah, but at the same time, he just seems to not exist. And now he's going to Renault next year. It's almost like everyone's gone, oh, sorry, mate, you don't exist.
He's going to be the new Carlos Sainz. Do you remember Carlos Sainz? We've not seen much from him this year, have we, either?
Vaguely.
He's just, he was there, but I can't remember anything he's done season.
That rings a bell.
But, I mean, Ricciardo did do quite well. He was, again, very unlucky with his engine. And did you see him on qualifying day walking down the pit lane and screaming fuck very, very loudly into his helmet? Yeah, he walked out the garage after his engine failed and he knew he was out of qualifying. He was just walking down the pit lane with his helmet on. The camera's behind him and he just goes, fuck! Really loudly. And then there's an interview with him about 3 minutes later and he's blown out his vocal cords and he's sort of sitting there going, yeah, I'm pretty angry.
Oh, I heard that interview and then they went back to the Channel 4 people and went, oh, I think he's got a cold. No, that's the insight you get from Channel 4.
Ricciardo did quite well to recover, but as you say, I mean, when was the last time he was ahead of Verstappen or out-qualified Verstappen? It's a blooming long time.
That's worth leaving.
And Verstappen is, I mean, you could argue that he's the favoured boy, but he's outperforming Ricciardo all over the place.
Yeah,
but
with
his mistakes.
There was a bit of a scare, actually, because I read this interview with Verstappen about how he feels having Gasly as a teammate next year. And he said this kind of quite chilling thing of like, well, they asked me who I'd want as a teammate, basically, because it's my team now and everything I say goes.
And it's just
like, yeah, and they're like, oh, so they've gone with Gasly because he's...
I said Keira Knightley.
...the least threatening. No, I think Max is more of a...
I think Keira Knightley's like twice as old as him.
That's probably
I don't know. Who do the young people fancy these days? I have no idea. Claudia Schiffer.
Me?
Yeah, he definitely said, I want Terry Saunders as a teammate.
It's awkward because I'm just not into those eyes.
Hey! So it was a good weekend in terms of points. They are closing the gap now on Renault. And there's actually only 8 points between them. It was a really good drive from Grosjean, who finished in eighth. It was a bad race for Magnussen, as we talked about. He hit Leclerc early in the race and he got a puncture. One of the things that impressed me most this race is how far Magnussen drove with that puncture.
Yes, although he did entirely destroy his car while he was doing
but it.
But that was an old school flailer. That was probably...
smash.
And that bit when all the carbon fibre exploded on the track that caused the safety car, that was quite impressive. Like a kind of...
It was basically like...
It was Betty! Oh, Magnussen's just got buried!
It was like he was just driving a threshing machine over a load of records or something. Just like shards everywhere.
What a weirdly specific reference.
Well, I grew up in the country.
But it was a very well-timed puncture, wasn't it? Because he joined the back with the safety car.
Oh, yeah. No, he did do quite well. Yeah, didn't the safety car that he caused then mean he could unlap himself and get back on again?
Yeah, well done him.
Let's see what he's up to.
It's a very clever strategy.
But it was a very good drive from Grosjean.
Was it?
It was, actually. Yes, he was he was almost the best of the rest if it wasn't for...
Perez.
Mm.
Old reliable tyres himself.
He didn't have a puncture, did he?
No.
Doesn't know what a puncture is.
Well, maybe we should talk about him.
Well, that's handy. Next up, Force India.
Oh, it's like I was looking at the script.
Oh, another double points finish.
There's a script.
So it was another double points finish for Force India. They both drove really well, and this time they didn't actually fight, which is pretty good. Perez said that seventh was the highest he could have got, though. Was he pointing out the limitations of the Force India cars?
Oh, yeah, no, he's just basically saying, like, nobody's as fast as the top three teams, so...
Which he's got a point.
Yeah, he's absolutely correct. I think anything else would be kidding themselves entirely.
There's a weird point, though, because, you know, when they crashed again the other week and then Otmar Schaffnauer...
It's a great name.
This is a great name. We're saying, like, well, we're going to stop them racing each other, we're going to stop them being next to each other, this kind of thing. And then the last race, they were next to each other the whole time, going, oh, let me through, I could be better than him. And this week they're in sequence for most of the race. And you kind of go, yeah, but if you're basically first and second of the B team, the only way to have them not race each other is to tell one of them to literally go to the back. Like, this doesn't work.
It's true, but they're not the top three teams, so nobody cares.
I don't care.
Renault.
Ugh.
Bad weekend for Renault. The qualifying was not great. Sainz was in the points, but he only got one. Hülkenberg retired on lap 37 with a rear-end issue. Sushi can come as a shock to a German diet.
Yes.
What did you think?
I don't know what's happened with Renault.
They've just gone backwards, haven't they?
Do you think this would stress Ricciardo out?
Yes. That's probably what he was shouting fuck about in the pit lane.
I feel like McLaren have infected Renault somehow. They've got the engines and somehow it's feeding contagious. Back into the team, like whatever virus they've got.
Oh, it's like Independence Day.
Just this little kind of bald-headed Ron Dennis virus going, you know, suboptimal. Or maybe even it's getting into Red Bull. Maybe they need Honda. I don't know. Renault have just been...
Well, they have signed the deal now. They officially signed the deal with Honda after Suzuka.
Well, had they not before?
No, apparently not. It was like sort of verbally agreed, but this time in Honda's home circuit, because Suzuka's Honda's own, and they title sponsored the Grand Prix. So yeah, afterwards Red Bull and Honda sat down and went scribble, scribble, scribble. So it's official now.
And out the window is just like Alonso looking in his face to the glass going, "You need me! Love me!"
Okay, Toro Rosso. A deceptively good qualifying from those guys, both in the top 10.
Yes.
Gasly had a terrible start. Everything went wrong with him, especially his tyres. Towards the end, he had old tyres which held him up. Shouldn't he have pitted during the safety car?
Probably.
Why didn't they?
Well, they didn't seem to have the pace in the race that they had in qualifying, because they were really good in qualifying.
There was some weird thing I read, that they had said to FIA, "We've buggered up our engine maps, can we change them under part Fermé?" And the FIA went, yeah, of course you can, mate, do what you like. And then on the grid or something, the FIA came up and went, "Actually, can you change them back, because we shouldn't have said you can." So whatever the problem they had last week with the engines has come back.
Oh, interesting. Because, yeah, I remember Hartley was complaining that he just couldn't get any grip or traction. Like, every time it came out the corner and put the foot on the accelerator to try and go, the wheels would just spin up. So maybe that was part of the mapping.
But then Hartley, bless him, he had a good qualifier because they lied to him.
Yes.
They said, "Oh, you're going to go out, so you better get a move on." And he wasn't going to go out. He was safe. And then he kind of qualified in, like,
nine? Which just goes to show that he can actually drive much faster than
he has.
But
then in the race, he just went backwards. Yeah. And at the start, he was just like down the back.
I think it sounds like it was the car. I didn't know about the mapping issue, but that would make sense. So, yeah, sort of provisionally a bit good for them, but then it sounds like they cocked it up.
Sauber. So, of course, it was an eventful race for Leclerc. He kept things exciting. The crash with Magnussen at the beginning. Terry, I would like to use you here.
Oh, so this is my French accent.
Monégasque accent, please.
Oh, sorry, yes. Magnussen is stupid and always will be stupid.
Oh, it's more aggressive than that.
Magnussen is stupid and always will be stupid.
Good.
Oh, this skunk looks like a cat and I love it.
Is that a Pepe Le Pew reference?
Yeah.
The team stated that he had a mechanical problem, which they managed to brush over the fact that his teammate had driven into him.
Well, that is a mechanical problem. Your car's fucked.
McLaren. Alonso got to 12th before he got a 5-second time penalty for an incident with Stroll. What happened?
I haven't got a fucking clue.
I've seen it. So basically, I think Stroll also got a 5-second penalty for this. Basically, him and Alonso were dicing up the back straight and through 130R, which is the super fast left-hand corner before you get back to the main straight. And Stroll basically forced Alonso off the outside of the track, for which Stroll got a 5-second penalty. But then Alonso, unlike Verstappen sort of cutting back across and taking Raikkonen out, Alonso went down the escape road, which sort of runs almost like in a square to the chicane, so he could have just gone straight on and then turned right and got back on the track. But he went straight on down the escape road, and then instead of following the escape road, basically just drove over the gravel at high speed to get back on the track. Got back on the track ahead of Stroll, and so gained a place by... gaining an advantage through going off the track. And so he got a 5-second penalty for that. So it's probably pretty justified, but it was really weird.
Well, they both got a 5-second penalty for screwing up.
In the same incident, but for completely separate things.
Good on him.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know what Alonso was thinking, really. He didn't need to do that. And McLaren's still slow. Was Van Dorn there?
I mean, his name was on the timing screens, but I think they just did that as a... You know that bit in Ferris Bueller's Day Off where he's got like a mannequin in the bed, and like when they open the door, like the mannequin gets up because it looks like he's pretending to be there. I think that's what Van Dorn's been doing most this year, which would explain the qualifying deficit. Because not even a mannequin is as fast. As
it's just some engineer in the garage with some strings.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
In fact, maybe that's where all of McLaren's engineering chops have gone this year. Like,
there's no actual people there.
Fandor doesn't exist. He's not a real boy. We had a bet of $1 that we could convince the world that this puppet was a real driver.
It's a carbon fiber Pinocchio.
Williams. I don't know how else to say this now. It is another disappointing weekend for Williams. Stroll got a 5-second penalty for causing a collision with Alonso, and he also flat spotted a tyre. However, I wanted to look at things from a different angle for Williams, because when Stroll came out of the car, for the first time ever, I noticed that he has the most glossy, voluminous hair on the grid. He hasn't officially got a drive for next year, so maybe his daddy can buy a hair salon. There are bigger and better opportunities. Leave F1 and become a hair model, which is more rewarding, and people don't pity a hair model.
I don't know. You know when you go past a barber's and there's like those 80s pictures in the window? I pity those. Like Stefan Dennis.
Yeah. Vidal Sassoon.
Don't it make me feel good?
Oh, don't start that again.
Beautiful.
Have they not officially announced that he's going to drive for Force India?
I don't think they have.
Can you imagine if his dad buys an F1 team and they don't give him a drive? I mean, delighted to announce he'll be the reserve driver.
That would be hilarious.
It would be amazing.
Daddy, why can't I ever make you proud? Oh, shut up with your hair. So you care about boys, your hair, but I want to be a hairdresser, Daddy, not a Formula One driver.
When do you think they'll announce it?
I don't think they will.
They'll just sort of turn up in Australia and they'll be like, what are you doing?
All of which brings us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
Okay, and the driver standings first. First place is Lewis Hamilton with one hand on the trophy. Second place is Sebastian Vettel with one hand on that Lewis Hamilton voodoo doll I bought. It's not seem to be working. Third place is Valtteri Bottas with one hand on my phone just in case Lewis rings and needs something. Fourth place is one hand on my Instagram account. That kid's going to be a star. Fifth place is one hand on my cock. I'm a teenager. That's Max Verstappen. He's 21. I don't care. Sixth place is one hand on my Renault contract, the other hand on a lighter. That's Ricardo. Perez, one hand round Ocon's neck. That's a bit harsh. In eighth place, Kevin Magnussen, one hand round the back. And ninth place, Nico Hülkenberg. There's one hand in my pocket and the other's doing a peace sign. 10th place, Fernando Alonso, one hand up Zach Brown's arse. And 11th place is Esteban Ocon. Whoever will get me a drive next year can put the hand wherever they like. Carlos Sainz, both hands on the door frame of McLaren, not wanting to go in. My arms are stretched. I'm like a cat that won't get in a cat box to go to the vets. And in 13th is Romain Grosjean, one hand on the gypsy who cursed me as a child to be both great and awful driver. 14th place, Pierre Gasly, one hand on Max's cock. It's in the contract for next year. 15th place, Charles Leclerc, just one hand. That's all I need to drive a car. I am a genius. In 16th place, Stoffel Van Doffel. Where did that come from? Oh my God, at the end of his career, I've come up with an even better name than Stoffel Ruffel. Stoffel Van Doffel, one hand on the noose. Jesus, mate, are you all right? 17th place, Lance Stroll, my butler's hand on a tramp, just for a laugh. In 18th place, Marcus Ericsson, one hand in the air like I just don't care about being reserve driver. In 19th place, Brendan Hartley, staring at my hands before the race, and it's just like they're not mine, man. That's the hair. And in Sergei Sorokin, 20th place, my rivals in Russia had no hands. That's a,
wow,
that's a gangster thing. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. And so for the Constructors' Championship, I've decided, because we're in Japan, to do haikus for each team. So, Mercedes, really fucking good. Makes races a bit boring, but cars are shiny. Ferrari, what a history that they managed to piss on. A River Bene. Red Bull, it's all Renault's fault. We preferred Infiniti. What? They were Renault?
That's an industry joke. I like that.
That's good. Yeah. Renault, please don't look at us. We're not sure what's going wrong. Doing next year's car. Haas, one driver is mad. Other a liability. But which is which? McLaren, we still change colour, but we never change our spots. Podium by Spain. Force India, we are always broke. Don't waste money on pit stops, beating McLaren. Although they'd actually not, because I'd just come after McLaren. I can't count. Toro Rosso's, we are Honda's bitch team, and we're Red Bull's data whores. But fuck Ferrari. I was getting bored. Sauber, next year with Kimi, we'll be all over Insta. Actually still shit. And Williams, we don't know what's wrong. Honestly, can you please help? We can give money. We'll be right back.
it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
The championship is nearly up, and with four races remaining, we look set to have up to, most likely, three of them being totally pointless after Hamilton does his inevitable post-championship slack-off. These races are always weird, no one really gives a shit, and probably best for all concerned if everyone just said, should we not bother? But contracts being what they are, and our Sunday excuses already dialed in, it means we're going to have to watch the Mexico, Brazil and Abu Dhabi Grand Prix waiting for Bottas to fill his quota of utterly hollow victories for the year. But all the advertisers, stakeholders and media know in their hearts that no one really cares about the post-championship winning races. So how do we make it a little more interesting? Well, don't worry, I have a solution. It's called, working title, 2018 and a half. From now on, every time the championship is won, there will be a mini-championship of the remaining races. But it needs to be spiced up a bit. Now, I know what you're thinking, I'm going to do some really silly rules that are unbelievable. But unlike my normal daft rules like Jokers or Multiball, let's make this actually a little bit realistic. Obviously, it would be great to swap all the drivers around and have Hamilton and Vettel in the Williams and Ericsson and Sirotkin in the Mercedes for a laugh. But that's not going to happen. So let's not even dream about how amazing that would be. Instead, let's see what can be done if we just dare to believe. First, three or four abreast grids. Why? Sounds ridiculous, but it's doable. And let's see Vettel squeeze by three cars before he inevitably crashes. No qualifying. Right? No qualifying at all. The order of the race is pulled out of a tombola like when they do the football.
All the touring cars.
All,
that's
they?
What they do in the touring cars. The top 10, they just draw lots before the race.
Bloody hell, I'm a genius. Mandatory pit stops. Every 15 laps, all the cars have to pit. None of this under overcut nonsense. Just cars on hard tyres whizzing round. It's actually genius when you think about it. None of this tyre strategy nonsense. They all got to go out flat out for the whole time. Random lap allocation. Like the lights being randomly 3 to 7 seconds before starting the race, no one will now know how many laps long the race will be until it's over. So that'll stop drivers coasting and then doing the last few laps quick. They just, every lap could be the last lap.
That is a good one. I like that one.
Style points. Fastest lap, pole position, best overtake, fanciest recovery. Have a panel of judges to give points for effort, not just on licenses. And if you use DRS, it has to stay open for the entire lap. Also, electrodes. If all four wheels go off the track, you get a hefty volt of electrics up your ass. Aversion therapy. And also, finally, double points.
Oh, sorry, that's a terrible idea. No, I was with you. I was with you all the way. Ruined it. Double points.
So that's it from us. It is goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about the guy that was the fastest Finnish driver in Suzuka. I mean, I don't know if he was actually fastest, but he was the coolest. Mika Häkkinen got back in his 98 McLaren.
I
went batting
Häkkinen
around the track when he won the title at Suzuka. He got back in the car and wanged around it, and he said, oh, bloody hell, it's quite fast, because I don't think he's driven an F1 car in quite a long time, and he's in his 50s now.
I like Mika Häkkinen.
I do as well, yeah. Remember when Finnish drivers were fun?
And it's goodbye to Terry Saunders.
Oh, we have talked about the thing that we haven't talked about because you put it in the news.
Oh, sorry.
But we haven't talked about the apology we have to give to our loyal Twitter fans for us not tweeting the race live. Because normally I take over Twitter duties and I slept through the race, I'm sorry to say.
You did that last year.
But it's also good to say that so did Vettel.
We'll be back in 2 weeks' time to discuss the American Grand Prix. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/ForF1Sake, and follow us on Twitter @ForF1Sake. You can buy stuff. Where can you buy stuff?
FFONE.co.biz /HTTPS shop, which means it's a secure link.
FFONE.com/shop.
Thanks for listening. See you in a fortnight. I've been G Crez. Goodbye.
Bye, G Crez.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.